Not there.
Oh, okay. If she has them on up.
Yeah, because she was going to write up an amendment.
I got the message. Getting some of our discussion get out of the way, or else we're going to have a big discussion. They're reviewing it.
Bottom line. Yep. Oh, okay.
I think that this change addresses the concern.
So which paragraph?
What it does is clarify it constitutes the group of members that.
That's interesting.
I'm not changing it.
I have a spare tire in the back.
I don't think that clarifies. So you say you need approval of at least five members of the group consisting of one. The members of the commission, there's six members, right?
Well, it's five members of a...
Yeah. Of a group consisting of...
Okay,
yep, I'm good with that. You're right.
It's not ladylike for me.
Just scratch paper.
It was all junk.
It's like
how big?
It's a little piece of paper.
Oh,
I'll just see. Never mind. Lonnie's free.
I think he wants to.
Oh,
see.
Sure.
I got
it. Well,
I didn't know what I was going to do that.
Looks
I
just.
I thought I.
Okay.
All right. Wizard. Should get out here.
Yeah.
We should be out here by 5, don't
I? I'm hoping so. Let's go ahead and go. Please go ahead and go.
Check that sounds
good. I saw that.
Is Scott?
That too. It's good. It's definitely 4.6.
And we have an interesting document upstairs. It's like almost
clean and that there. I didn't even describe the second one. Yeah. Four kinds of waves and how those kinds of waves are making.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting.
But 250,000.
It's that language that I can.
Yeah. Well, I wonder too, because it was only the one language.
Whoops. Absolutely.
It isn't in there.
You'd
we can just, as far as we can, I would think I can.
I'm trying.
I better get them going.
Yeah, let's get going.
Ready, go.
It's a question.
Ready, go. Like to call the committee back to order.
I'm just trying to figure out.
Wonderful. Mics are back on.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Mr. Burris, would you continue? I think we go with start with the motor vehicle lease tax. Is that what?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that is. The motor vehicle lease tax in the House proposal would phase in motor vehicle lease revenue for transportation. The phase-in would only be from fiscal years 2010 to 2012, and the allocation starting in fiscal year 2012 would be 60% to highways, 30% to metro area transit, and 10% to greater Minnesota transit.
I'd just like to comment on that, because originally the House did not have this sales tax on leased vehicles, and that we did get it. We're allowed to pick it up, basically, if you call it a target.
So that would address this issue, and that's the reason why it doesn't fully phase in until 2012. And any discussion or comment? We haven't had a motion, but Representative Hortman or Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to spend a moment visiting on that. The Senate position was to split the motor vehicle lease tax 50-50, 50-50 roads and transit, and then take 75% of the funds, of those funds, which are generated mostly in the metro area, and keep them in the metro area and send 25% of that out to Greater Minnesota Transit. And the way we came up with that, of course, was by, you know, striking a balance between, you know, what the needs were in other parts of the bill, and that's how we came to that conclusion. So we're not as hung up on the percentages. We just want to make sure that in terms of dollar amounts, you know, there's a well-articulated need for roads, a well-articulated need for transit, both in the metropolitan area and in Greater Minnesota. And in Greater Minnesota, of course, there, you know, the opportunities are tremendous because, of course, there's inadequate transit in those counties that do have transit, and there are 7 counties that have no transit. We had a rather robust discussion yesterday on that subject, if I recall. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious if we provide for the needs in Greater Minnesota transit in particular in other parts of the bill, if we accommodate that, because that's what our interest was. I'm glad that the lease tax is in here, albeit not in this next biennium, but in the following biennium. I think that's an important policy principle as articulated by Senator Bonner. But the crux of my question is, you know, what's the rationale behind this split, and what do we do for Greater Minnesota Transit, ultimately, bottom line?
Excuse me, just a minute, Senator Bonner. I think perhaps this is confusing. The numbers we have, 60-30-10, Senator Dibble, to the committee, so we don't confuse it with the other issue we have. Would you just reiterate, or Mr. Burris, is this specific? Isn't this the 60-30-10 is a split from another split, isn't that correct?
Mr. Chair, this split is just for motor vehicle lease tax and would be just 60-30-10. So it would total 40% for transit and 60% for highways, and these percentages are broken out to identify the transit portions.
Just to make certain everyone understand it, because we're going to have some confusion with these others. Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I think what the House did is they mirrored the regular MVEST split that passed, and I suggest that we adopt a Senate language on this provision, because we did a lot of work in the Senate on this provision, and when we looked at the overall amount of money that was needed for roads, transit, we worked with the rural guys, we negotiated, we spent a lot of time on it, and so this was not lightly come to our numbers, and I know that the House didn't have this in their bill, it didn't go to the floor as a standalone item, and so I don't know that the conferees in the House are as married to the split as perhaps those of us in the Senate are. So I think the reason why we felt the 50-50 is this was a way to give transit that extra jump start that, you know, it needed, and because it was money that the road people weren't necessarily counting on, they didn't mind the 50-50. And then we were very generous with our rural allocation because we wanted to acknowledge how much the rural communities really do need transit.
Thank you, Senator Bonhoff. We don't have a motion,
Mr. Chair,
to that effect on anything, and we're dealing strictly, we should remember, with a sales tax on leased vehicles.
Mr. Chair, that's what I'm speaking about. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I would be happy to move
Representative
that.
Representative
Horton. Thank you.
Is you the question? Was that your voice I was hearing? Anyhow,
yeah.
You were next.
Well, you were interested in the motion, and I would be very happy to move that Dibble language that he outlined on MVEST. I think it's a compelling case the Senate's made, and I'm especially interested in the increase in transit, but I also think that we have to keep in mind the needs of rural Minnesota in this. Many of us were at the hearing in St. Cloud, and we heard loud and clear that there are significant unmet needs in rural transit, and I think this helps us part of the way. Obviously, there's unmet needs still, but I'd be very comfortable moving that language, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. But what are the numbers?
Well,
is that the numbers?
Senator Dibble's idea here.
Thank
you.
Can you
repeat those again?
So the amended language would read 50% to highways, 37.5% to metropolitan area transit, and 12.5% to greater Minnesota transit.
You have that, Mr. Burris?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
That was the motion you made, Representative Hornstein?
Correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. You've all heard the motion, I believe. Any further discussion, Representative Morrill?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would just like to express my appreciation to the understanding of the members to the needs in rural Minnesota for transit. I certainly understand there are tremendous needs in metro area as well, but I'm very grateful for that recognition. I thank members for seeing the needs that we're trying to struggle with as well.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hortman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When this bill left the House, we didn't have this money, and there were people from the greater Minnesota area that said part of the reason they felt they could not support the bill as it passed off the House floor was that there was insufficient money allocated to greater Minnesota transit. And I think this 12.5% allocation goes a very long way toward meeting that need and is a very fair and very generous division of the transit money here. So I think what we're doing is the right thing here.
Any further comment? Mr. Peterson, I'd like to hear from you once. Representative Peterson.
I'm very quiet. I realize I'm the 11th horse in a 10-horse hitch.
You're the important one.
So I'm listening. I'm watching, and I'll weigh in here, but thank you for the invitation.
And you've understood the motion, too?
I certainly do.
Well,
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, in regards to that 10-horse hitch, I think we ought to make it 11 and put you right out in front.
Yeah. The first horse always gets shot, sir.
But it has the best view.
And for the members in the public, Representative Peterson is certainly a big part of our House side, so we really appreciate Representative Peterson being with us. Any further comment or discussion? If not, all in favor of the motion as presented by Representative Hortman was 50-37 and 12.5. Representative Hornstein, excuse me. And again, the 50% was on transit, 50% on highways,
mm-hmm.
and 37.5 on
metro,
metro transit, and 12.5 on rural transit.
Correct.
Got it right. I just want to check. Yeah. So any further discussion or comment? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Contrary? No. The motion passes. That takes care of that one. Great.
Mr. Chair and members, the next item is the motor vehicle sales tax. The House proposal is to adopt the Senate position, which would phase in the motor vehicle sales tax over the next few fiscal years, and starting in fiscal year 2012, allocate the revenues solely for transportation to be 60% for highways, 36% for metropolitan area transit, and 4% for greater Minnesota transit.
Any discussion? We haven't had an amendment, but amendment or discussion? This solidifies the 36 and 4% of that 40%, which was an issue, and I believe we agreed to that. Mm-hmm. The committees have agreed to that prior to this.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move those three bullet points.
Senator Murphy moves those three bullets under motor vehicle sales tax. Any discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
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 Contrary? The motion passes. Mr. Burris, right.
Mr. Chair, the next item is the County State Aid Highway Fund distribution. The House proposal would be to take the House position, which was previously adopted by the conference committee. And I can get into the details of that again if you want.
Mr. Chairman, we've whooped on this horse long enough. I'll move those three bullet points.
Thank you, Senator Murphy. And again, this deals with what we call the old money and the new money. When we go that route, I think we've gone that quite a ways. Any discussion or comment? If not, all in favor of the motion adopting the three bullets under the county stated highway fund distribution, say aye.
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 Contrary? The motion passes. Mr. Burrs.
Mr. Chair and members, the next item is the Metropolitan Transportation Sales Tax. I'm not sure if Senator Dibble, Representative Hornstein, or Mr. Schreiber wanted to walk through that, or if you wanted me to hit some of the highlights on that one.
Mr. Burrs, too, I think rather than one or two, I think we just about have to take the whole grouping.
Mr. Chair, yeah, unless the committee wants to get into changing some of the policy details, we could look at it as a whole package.
I think we can take the bullets under participating counties, authorization of tax, and governance structure. Okay, that'd be all of them. Allocation of revenues all in the same context. Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chair, I was going to make that motion, but and Representative Hornstein, I think, had a question.
Well, thank you. I'd love for you to make that motion. I just want to let Mr. Chair and members of the committee know that I would like to amend on the allocation of revenues. I do have an amendment. So however you would want to handle that procedurally, okay, whether you'd want to do that now or later, we could do that.
Probably. I was concerned because I was going to ask Representative Hornstein, Representative Dibble, and I believe Representative Hortman. They've been working on this issue more, so at least initially to get your input here before we get making a motion. Mm-hmm. Representative Hortman.
Mr. Chair, I have a question about the language at authorization of tax where it says allows the Joint Powers Board to impose a 0.5% sales tax. My understanding was in the language that we had in the bill that it allowed the counties to impose that tax, to vote on and impose that tax, because my understanding was that a Joint Powers Board is not legally empowered to, in the state of Minnesota, impose such a tax, and that we had modeled this language on the language for lack of a better analogy, to the Twin Stadium.
Correct.
I hear some heads rattling, and I presume that was correct. Is that right?
Mr. Chair and members, that's technically correct. The language here in this summary was intended to convey that the counties acting under the Joint Powers Board would decide on imposing the tax as opposed to the Senate position, which would impose the tax by the state as opposed to it being local option.
Thank you.
Mr. Burrs, do you have to make some adjustment on that language or not?
Mr. Chair, I think we understand the intent of the.
Does everyone committee understand mm-hmm. the question? Is Senator Murphy or Senator Dibble?
Thank you. I just wanted to speak a little bit to the proposal. Are you ready for that? This represents a fairly significant change from the Senate position. If members recall, the original Senate bill brought into this conference committee established the tax by legislative action, established the Joint Powers Board, set up some specific rules under which the governance structure would be called about and how they would operate. And it was fairly detailed. It was fairly prescriptive. It wasn't just because we're a bunch of control freaks, it's because we were trying to remain consistent with our intent to come in and impose a half-cent sales tax and provide that political and policy leadership and, of course, have that level of accountability that corresponds with that. And so, we didn't want to kind of backdoor a half-cent sales tax by hiding behind another entity, we're going to raise a half-cent sales tax in the metropolitan area, but you're going to do it. We've been around that conversation in the recent past, so we thought we would just step up and own up to what we're doing and say, this is what we hope to accomplish. At the same time, we wanted to invest some of the oversight responsibility for how that money is expended, in the hands of local officials who have shown some of the best faith effort and some of the most innovation and some of the greatest level of energy around initiating ideas for corridor mobility, transit mobility, and the like, and so we thought that approach made the most sense. House had a different perspective, and not surprisingly, the local jurisdictions had a different perspective. They thought they could organize themselves fairly efficiently, and they wanted some flexibility in how they did that, both in their composition as well as in their governance structure. So we set forth, you know, Representative Hornstein and some others and I set forth some basic principles that we wanted to be fulfilled. And I think that, you know, we wanted cities to have some involvement. You know, we wanted to be sure that that this Joint Powers Board came together fairly swiftly, that there was some provision for recognizing, you know, weighted balance of interests, some sort of flexibility in how the money is used, et cetera. And I think they did a nice job. So while I'm not, you know, not thrilled to completely concede the Senate position, I can support this governance structure proposal in the general, you know, with I think we're going to change some details, but I can support this proposal.
Mm-hmm. Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to thank Senator Dibble and everyone who was involved in this compromise language. Senator Dibble's absolutely right. This is compromise language. The Senate moved significantly. And I think there's not much more to add. I think Senator Dibble did a nice job of summarizing this. But procedurally, you know, it wasn't just the House and Senate talking, as was pointed out. We had a pretty big gap between, for example, the position of the metropolitan municipal county, municipalities and the metropolitan counties. Those bridges have been built, and I think there is certainly buy-in from both of those entities for this. It does provide maximum flexibility in terms of how this is both used and governed. And I think this is a very important point because the sales tax is an important part, very, very important part of this bill. And so we've been extremely careful to ensure that counties, and there are layers and layers of accountability for the public here in terms of this grant-making input that citizens and county board members and city council members and mayors will have. That's a critical part of this. So I think that counties can opt in and opt out as they see fit. It's very, very important to note that because we'll be getting questions about this. And this is a very flexible model. I had a conversation with the Lieutenant Governor here yesterday, there's strong precedent for this. Whether you agree or disagree with what we did on the Twin Stadium, this is really enabling language. And again, the counties are levying this tax, not the state. And that's a very, very important thing to note about this. So this is a good provision. It provides maximum accountability, layers of accountability. And I think will move us forward, both for roads and transit. Again, that's a important area of compromise as well, is that we have a flexible account, which we'll talk a little about later. That's where my amendment comes in. We have a roads account and a transit account. So depending on the need and the time, local authorities can allocate this money as they see fit, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hornstein. Is everyone taking a good look at all the bullets so we aren't confusing? You know, we go all the way down to Greater Minnesota Transportation Sales Tax.
Oh, Mr. Chair, I guess before we move on, I did have an amendment on the Metro Sales Tax. So if I could, the allocation piece.
Do you have a written
amendment? Yeah, it is an A61 amendment. I don't know.
We have that?
Is that?
I think they need to make
copies. Mr. Chair, I have a motion part. I don't have a written amendment, but I want to make an amendment that responds to concerns that have been articulated by members in both chambers.
It's agreeable by both.
I don't know.
It's an oral amendment.
It's an attempt to echo an earlier speech that I made about the gas tax. You know, we came down on the gas tax. This is not an amendment I make happily, and I prefer not to be the one making the amendment, but I want to show good faith with those who have articulated the concern. And rather than imposing the 0.5% sales tax, I propose we go with the 2/5 sales tax.
Senator Dribble, excuse me, you're in the allocation of revenue.
I'm in the authorization of tax, bringing the sales tax size down from 0.5% to two-fifths. That would correspond to 0.4%.
Two-fifths are how much?
Would you reinstate that again, Senator Dibble?
Strike 0.5% and insert 0.4%.
Does everyone get that? Strike the half cent and make it 0.4% sales tax? What was your logic, again, if I may ask, Senator Dibble? I mean, you give a lot of rationale, but could you give us a short?
Short version to gain additional votes.
You mean within the committee or within the
within populace? The larger, within our chamber, respective chambers, Mr. Chair.
Oh. Representative Hortman, you had your hand up.
Mr. Chair, I just don't think that there'll be three votes in the House for this. Thought about all I have to say.
Over here.
Representative Hornstein?
Well, I have some concerns about this. We probably need a little more discussion.
That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah.
I have a motion we can discuss.
I think that, again, any lowering of this will, I'm worried about the impacts on transit. I hope that we can lower at least the original percentage allocation. That's what my amendment was. And but I'd like to hear more from other members, because I think a half cent is reasonable and fair. So.
Representative,
Mr. Chair, I believe that Denver has a half cent, San Diego, Phoenix. I think if we want to compete with our peer cities across the country, that we have to look at what they're doing and what works where they are. And I don't think we have a reason to deviate from what is working in other cities all around the country. This provision of the bill is the provision that has the most potential to change the face of the Twin Cities. Is a huge concession to allocate any of it to roads and to not be spending all of it on transit. We should be spending all of it on transit. But if we drop the amount, we lessen the ability for capital improvements. We have about $4 billion worth of capital improvements that we need to make to get transit in the Twin Cities up and running. I know Senator Sieben could tell us probably off the top of her head what it would cost to get Red Rock online. Rush Line is a multi-million dollar capital expenditure. North Star Phase 2, a multi-million dollar capital expenditure. We need the Central Corridor. We cannot make the capital expenditures that we need, and then we cannot have the operating revenue that we need for a first-class transit system in the Twin Cities if we start negotiating down on this particular provision. The way I look at it is I couldn't imagine when I said okay to the 5-cent gas tax and when I said okay to the $1.5 billion in bonding, giving any more. I mean, I think we're bending over so far we're about to fall over trying to compromise. And I think bending any more starts to look like maybe it breaks.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hortman, for talking about the Red Rock Corridor. I was going to just highlight to the committee and to the public that as we've seen the tremendous success of the Hiawatha line and the North Star Corridor is preparing to come online, we have invested in these corridors that tend to favor the west side of the metropolitan area. And now we need significant investments on the east side of the metropolitan area, which includes the Central Corridor, the Rush Line, and the Red Rock Corridor. And we need this half-cent sales tax, the revenue from it, to help us get those investments into these corridors that the public really wants. So I am happy if we've had enough discussion to move the that section of the under the authorization of the tax to keep it at a half cent as proposed
is
by
is there
the
further
House.
Discussion? Well, Senator Dibble.
Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead. Well,
you yielding to Senator Murphy?
Okay. I will yield to my chair.
Well, Mr. Chairman, and Senator Dibble and I have had several discussions about the half-cent sales tax, and we were, both thinking along the same line of maybe offering up something that was a skinny bit less in hopes to maybe gain some more votes, and that's the reason basically why, you know, most people tend to negotiate away from their positions. But, you know, this is one that you're either for the sales tax or you're against it. And the more I think about it, you're either for it at half a cent, you could be for it at 0.25, you could be for it at any level. But if you're against it, you're against it, and it wouldn't matter if it was 0.000001, and you'd still be against it. And, you know, the more time that I think that we've had to think about this, I think that we should just leave the half cent and go with that. I mean, you look at, and I'm not going to say anything nobody else did, but you look at the overwhelming need, especially in the metropolitan area, knowing that there's going to be a million more people here. If we don't act now and act fast and act in a manner that is going to try to fill up that pot of unmet need, our kids and grandkids are just going to be overwhelmed. And we might as well take the tough vote, do it now.
Senator Dibble.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm more than happy to bow to the prevailing wisdom of the conference committee, and I will withdraw my amendment.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Senator Dibble.
Defer to Senator Stephen.
Mr. Chairman,
we needed the discussion.
Yeah, I appreciate the discussion, but I think Representative Hornstein had some other issues here, but I think that Representative Earhart was.
I think Representative Earhart, too.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, with all the troubles they're having on the east side, Senator Stephen, I was thinking maybe we should go 0.60 just to help you out. But in light of the fact that Senator Dibble withdrew, I will not offer mine.
Representative Hornstein.
Well, thank you. This is a great discussion, members. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I do think that this is the right decision. But I do appreciate the strategic thinking. And I know that, again, we're making some changes here based on, prevailing need to compromise and to find middle ground, and I think that's good. And in that spirit, I have had conversations with some members in this committee and others, and as much as I am, with a similar proposal as a transit advocate, it's difficult for me. But I do think that, in the interests of coming together and common ground, I would move that we change the allocation of the sales tax revenue will remain 25% roads and highways, but have at least 50%, 50, for transit, and then up the flexible account from 15% to 25%. So just to review, Mr. Chair and members, 50% transit, 25% roads and highways, 25% in the flexible account. And, of course, within the flexible account, we have a provision that this includes roads, highways, transit, or up to 5% for bicycle and pedestrian programs. So I would move that language again in the interest of for the same real goals that Senator Dibble and Senator Murphy had in the previous discussion.
Mr. Chairman, then I will.
Senator Murphy, right.
Then if I could make a motion here, I would move all of those bullets under Metropolitan Transportation Sales Tax with the changes incorporated that Representative Hornstein just spoke of.
Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Before we vote on that, I just have to discuss something that I've given a great deal of thought to, and so I think that I wouldn't feel like I had done my job as a legislator without at least having the discussion out loud. And that is, I wrestled with, should I bring up a referendum? And I am not moving a referendum at this point, and I just wanted to talk about why I'm not going to do that. I think it's better public policy not to have a referendum. I took that hard vote last year, that awful thing nobody likes to talk about but we keep referring to, and got a lot of grief from it, at the doors. And So I really considered, did I do the right thing? Didn't I do the right thing? And at the end of the day, I had to look in the mirror and say, I did the right thing. I was elected. I have to make tough decisions. And so I think the better public policy is to be willing to have the courage of my convictions and not include referendums. However, in the spirit of thinking, how are we going to get this thing done, I thought that perhaps, you know, we might get the governor's support and we might get the Republican, you know, people to be more willing to override. And so I talked to, you know, people I knew. I talked to the chambers. I talked to various people. And nobody said to me, you know, if you do that, if you make that compromise, we're going to help you get this thing done. We're going to go to bat for you. No, nobody came forward and said that. In fact, they said the opposite. They said, oh, that'd be a little better, you know. But so given my belief that the right public policy is not to have the referendum and that we don't have anybody coming forward to say, we will get this thing done if you do that for us, I'm happy that, you know, I'm going with the will of the committee and leaving it that way.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just had a quick question for either staff or perhaps Senator Dibble or Representative Hornstein. The way this grant application process would work, can transitways that are outside of the metropolitan area, that extend outside of the metropolitan area, can any portion of the proceeds that are generated under the sales tax provision be used for investments that are within the metropolitan area? And I'm thinking, for instance, of high-speed rail, which is, you know, very important to the state of Minnesota. It's important to the St. Paul and the development of the Union Depot. And obviously that will end or begin in the metropolitan area, but I'm not sure if that would be eligible for a grant under this language.
The question you're asking, Senator Sieben, is if it originates originates in the metropolitan area, if you could use sales tax, even if it extended beyond
correct.
The seven county
for that portion, even in
Senator
the
Dibble or Representative Hornstein.
I'll thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and Senator Sieben, and I'll try to answer that. But of course, we have Mr. Schreiber here, who's kind of an expert in these matters as well. He can correct me if I am not accurate in this, but there is a provision where we have counties can opt in outside of the metropolitan area if they are contiguous to the metropolitan area and they go through the same process that the other counties do. And I did want to also mention one change in our new language is that we had five counties originally. We now have seven. And again, this is as a result of Scott and Carver County, a lot of discussions with them over the last few weeks. They are now included in this joint powers agreement. But, for example, if the Wright County Board decided, you know, we have a transit way coming in from Wright County into the downtown Minneapolis or downtown St. Paul area, and they wanted to be part of that, then they can opt into it. And then a county that's contiguous to Wright, let's say Sherburne, makes that assessment and that decision, then they can be included in the joint powers agreement. So that's, I think, the way, Mr. Chair and Senator Sieben, to address that issue. They're not in now, but they can opt in at any time, and I think that's the fairest way and the best way to ensure buy-in if we have transit ways that are outside of the initial contiguous seven-county region.
Senator Dibble?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. However, we still might need to get an answer from Council because I think what Senator Sieben is asking about is something that reaches all the way to Chicago. So I don't know if we can string together enough counties that get us to Chicago to accommodate that entire corridor. You know, the way we have it constructed, we can certainly string enough counties together, you know, to accommodate the capital and operational needs that we might have to get a rail corridor or any other kind of corridor to St. Cloud, for example, or to Duluth. But, you know, for one that we're never going to be able to, I'm wondering if we can spend money. I just don't know the answer. I'm wondering if our language accommodates that.
Mr. Burris, are you prepared to discuss that?
Okay. Sure.
Mr. Chair and members, the language that is in here does not specifically prevent funds from being used outside of those counties that are imposing the tax. There are a couple of provisions that would potentially connect to that, but it would take some more research to see if the circumstances would actually be a limitation on funds extending out beyond the area. The things that I'm noticing are, first, that one of the requirements is that the criteria for awarding grants has to be consistent with the Met Council's transportation policy plan. So if there were aspects of that plan that spoke to that, that could potentially be a restriction. But in general, the use of grant awards is pretty open. It has to go to state and political subdivisions, but the Joint Powers Board has quite a bit of latitude in determining how the funds are used.
And Senator Sieben?
Mr. Chair, and thank you for that clarification, Mr. Burris. It would seem reasonable to me that at least if the Joint Powers Board could give money to make track improvements, for example, for the high-speed rail that are within the jurisdiction of the Joint Powers Board, then that would seem to make sense, and maybe other sources could be used for the section of the line that is outside of the whatever counties are in it. But
Representative Earhart?
Well, Mr. Chairman, that what you just said, Senator Sieben, kind of helps me a little bit, but I would be very strongly opposed to Metro paying for other counties that don't want to participate in this. And I think the people that are going to be taxed would be as well. So unless they are contiguous and want to join in, I don't think that we should be shipping money out of here to them. And I hope that that's the way it reads. I see Mr. Schreiber shaking his head over there, yes.
Well, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Stevens worked a long time and on the high-speed rail issue. And, you know, with the bonding bill not passing and the money for the high-speed rail there, I understand her angst. But, I also agree with Representative Earhart is that, you know, these are funds that are going to be raised here in the metropolitan area. And I would hope that they would be spent here in the metropolitan area. You know, if there was upgrades of track to be done between here and Hastings, that's one thing. But to try to do the high-speed rail from, say, you know, that portion of, going outside of Hastings towards Red Wing that ends up in Goodhue County or down in Winona County or Wabasha, I don't think that's an appropriate use of the metropolitan sales tax.
Senator Sieben.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't have anything to add except I agree with.
But that kind of shows the intent, really.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We have
right.
it. Thank
you
Senator
for that
Bono.
Clarification.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a motion, and it's not very well thought out, so if you'd allow me to to work with it. But because we lost all of those studies in the bonding bill, I would like to move that a portion of the sales tax that we would pass be used for those studies as line listed in our Senate bill.
Could we just withhold that a minute, Senator, the motion? I'd just like to ask a question, two questions. We have an amendment to the bill, or to this section from Representative Hornstein. Well, we can still amend this after we pass this. That's what I was going to say. Another question I was going to ask, it appears to me, and maybe some of those studies that you're concerned about, I think, are addressed. Aren't we addressing some of those in here?
Mr. Chairman, there's a motion on the floor.
Right.
And I think that we should vote on that before we move along to...
That's a question I'm just raising. I'm just asking a question. Right. If we aren't going to... I think we're addressing part of
thank
that.
Thank you.
If you could temporarily withdraw your motion, we have...
Temporarily withdraw my motion.
Thank you. We have Representative Hornstein's amendment to Senator Murphy's motion, and we should vote on the amendment first. And that was to change, under the allocation of revenues, to change the numbers from at least... Delete the 60 and put in 50, and then the next line, delete 15 and put in 25. Is that correct?
Correct.
Does everyone understand the amendment?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary? The motion passed. Now we have the full motion ahead of us. I think we should, Senator Carlson.
I have one technical question, Mr. Chair, on the authorization of the tax, and I'm assuming that the $20 is complementary to the back up to the 0.5%. Those cannot be separated, can they? It's an all or none. It's the 0.5% sales tax and $20.
Senator Carlson, if I can have Bonnie, Ms. Brzozowski, explain that, because I had the question you had.
Mr. Chair and Senator Carlson, I don't know any reason why those could not be separated.
The question is, I think, to Ms. Brzozowski, he's concerned. You're concerned what the $20 is, too, I believe, aren't you, Senator
Correct,
Carlson?
Mr. Chair. I'm concerned that they we would not want them to be separated.
Right. That's
so that one could not be enacted without the other.
And for the members of the committee, when I looked at it, and I think that's what the brought Senator Carlson's question, when you look at it, you wonder what's a $20 there for? That's in lieu of the sales tax that isn't collected on the motor vehicles. This new sales tax wouldn't be collected, so that's in lieu of the what we call a normal 6.5% sales tax. Mm-hmm. Does everyone understand that? So that was confusing to me, too, Senator Carlson, for a minute, until I did get squared away. Thank you for bringing that up. We have the motion to adopt all those points, and we can do that, Senator Murphy, mm-hmm. and then Senator Bonhoff could.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any further questions on adopting all the articles under the Metropolitan Sales Tax?
I just have a
Ms. Berezowski?
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to clarify a couple of points because I'm not that familiar with this language. But first of all, because I heard Representative Hornstein say it's seven counties, as I read this language, it's optional for all for any metropolitan county. It isn't mandatory for seven right. counties, so it's optional for any. It could be imposed by just one or two counties in the metro. As I understand.
Correct.
This. Okay,
Mr. Burris, that's correct too. Yes. That's the way we understood.
Okay, and the other question I had was that as I read the authorized uses for the revenues, it would not, that railroad track would not be, except for light rail or commuter rail, would not be an authorized expenditure of sales tax revenues.
It would
so
not
the
be
high-speed rail would not be something that would currently be eligible for funding under this language.
Ms. Berezowski, are you staying exclusively? The only one exempt is the high-speed rail?
Mr. Chair, as I read the language, it's just the authorized uses are for highways, transit, and the way transit is defined, it's defined to be transit ways, capital improvements or operations for transit ways, park and ride facilities, and that's it.
That's great. And Ms. Berezowski, then Senator Bonhoff is going to have a motion to consider some studies. Would that be included in transit ways? In my opinion, it would be, wouldn't it? Would that address your? Well, we're getting ahead of it. We didn't move on this. Any further questions as far as the motion to adopt all of the metropolitan sales taxes, Senator Dibble?
Thank you to Ms. Berezovsky's point. Would it make a difference that the high-speed rail will be traveling along the same track as the Red Rock corridor commuter rail? Does that help us? Because that's commuter rail track. It's going to be used for two purposes. I don't know if that helps Senator Stevens.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, I think what Ms. Berezovsky said, that if it was a designated transit way, it would be perfectly appropriate use of this allocation. Yeah. So I think that would mean that it would be okay down to Hastings, and that would be
portions in that.
Right. I think that's a good thing.
Representative Hortman?
Mr. Chair, I just think that we should move that whole section, Metropolitan Transportation Sales Tax, and then discuss the Bonhoff motion.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to
do. My understanding is we haven't moved that entire
her motion's
portion
not
yet.
Before us.
Yeah.
She withdrew that temporarily. Any further discussion on the Metropolitan Transportation Sales Tax issues? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary? The motion's adopted. Senator Bonhoff, did you have a
Thank
motion?
You, Mr. Chair. I understand from what Ms. Berezovsky said is that there is actually permissive language in what we just passed, but I still would like us to legislatively refer to what we did pass in the Senate bill so that we don't leave it up to the Joint Powers Board. So therefore, my motion is to include the language, Senator Sieben. Can you give me the R? Okay. An R54 and R55, the Senate language, lines 26.33 to starting at the word the to 27.18. And what that does, members, is it I am still assuming that the $250,000 that the Met Council said would be sufficient for all of those studies, that we would apply that to those studies as well as the Southwest Transit or Southwest Corridor is listed separately.
Did you have any Representative Hornstein, did you follow
well,
that?
I certainly, Mr. Chairman, can empathize with Senator Bonhoff's interest in moving this along. I know she's worked very hard on Southwest and the 394 issues, but I guess I would respectfully oppose it and urge a no vote. I think what we just accomplished in our previous vote was giving this Joint Powers Board maximum flexibility. I think that's going to be very, very important to members of both bodies when they look at this. And then if we then now start imposing mandates, and I think the bonding bill is still somewhat in flux. We may or may not do it, and I think it properly belongs there. If the Joint Powers Board, they have the option to look at these transitways. I know the Metropolitan Council is updating its policy plan next year. It's also my understanding that, again, Southwest will be an important priority in that plan. Of course, they haven't established it. I don't want to, pre-guess or presuppose what the Met Council will do, but I know that there's a lot of interest there and seeing what, if any, way we can speed that transit corridor, that light rail corridor along. But I think the main reason is philosophical. I think we just said to local units of government and counties and cities that we're giving you money and we're giving you flexibility. And I think that in that spirit, I would oppose this.
Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hornstein, we as a body did vote on those very items that are within this bill, and it was put in the bonding bill, and I don't have any faith that those items will be supported in a future bonding bill. In fact, if I had to bet on it, I'd say they wouldn't be. And I think that we're at a very critical juncture with the Southwest Transitway, and I don't know that the Joint Powers Board will come to that same conclusion. And we've all been working together, and I know the Met Council has been working with the legislature on these projects.
Senator Bonhoff? Oh, are you on complete your
Representative
opinion?
Hornstein, it looks to me like you're gathering your votes rather than listening to my conversation.
Just surveying people's attitudes.
Representative Hornstein, I'm trying to influence your attitude.
No, I'm multitasking.
Mr. Chair. Representative Hornstein, I would just ask you to consider that these projects are at a critical stage. I as you know, I've been working on the 394 study, but that's not even what I was most concerned about. I was most concerned about where we are in the planning process on some of these others that was in the bonding bill.
Senator Bonner, may I suggest, and I recognize, and I think that's one thing the legislature hasn't done, we haven't provided for those studies, and I know it was in the bonding bill. In fact, I was made certain that we had it in there, tried to put it in there. What would it appease you if you put the word may utilize just to get it in the, rather than, I think Representative Hornstein indicated was a mandate that you were proposing?
Mr. Chair, so you're suggesting that I
put in all the languages that say may or shall or whatever it is. I thought I understood from Representative Hornstein that it's a mandate.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, that would be fine.
Representative Hornstein.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess Senator Bonhoeff and I are on the same page on the Senate. You know, the Southwest corridor has a station in my district and in Senator Dibble's, well, actually a lot more in Senator Dibble's district, but at least one in mine. And I even proposed an authored legislation to make this a top priority in the Met Council plan, and was reassured by them that if it wasn't, it would be, or it would be close to being one. You know, I had a lot of conversations with Hennepin County about my bill, and I think that there's general consensus that, you know, money becoming available, we're gonna move this forward. And I think that the bonding bill was very, you know, has been contentious and somewhat polarizing in the House, and I think to add this, you know, doesn't really advance, I think, the broader cause that we're interested in. And I'm very confident that good people coming together will move the Southwest corridor and the other transit corridors forward. So we're not having a disagreement on that. I think it's mainly procedural.
Senator Dibble, are you going to resolve this for us?
I'm going to bring it all together, Mr. Chair. No, I just wanted to very quickly support Senator Bonhoeff in her proposal, and I think she's accommodated your suggestion that this be permissive. You know, substitute the word shall for may, just to give an indication to this Joint Powers Board, you know, what has brought us all to the table, the level of interest that there is on the part of the legislature that's calling these resources, calling about these resources. And if you look at the list, it covers the whole metro area. We do continue to leave, you know, a significant amount of flexibility and a lot of initiative on the part of the Joint Powers Board, particularly if we put the word may in for shall. But also, you know, we leave it up to them to do any level of study that they so choose. They could spend $10 on each of these just to stick them on a map. Or, you know, they could spend any sum of money, do any level of in-depth of research or examination of these. But it just gives an indication of geographically and in terms of our participation as legislators, why we're interested in establishing this source of funds, you know, kind of what our vision is. It's the product of a great deal of work and thought on the part of local communities in conjunction with their local elected representatives, and this legislature, you know, most notably in the form of the public hearings and town hall meetings that we had around the metro. You know, so it's a nice listing of interest and priorities that we have.
Representative Hornstein, any comment?
Well, I thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think I've pretty much said my piece. I worry about, you know, our taking on a new fight in this bill we can at least resolve in another way in another place, and that's my concern.
Well,
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hornstein, you know, this is a lot of our folks in the Senate, and mainly the my four other conferees worked long and hard to make sure that all of the needs of the current lines were addressed, and also looking into the future. And that's kind of what we've got here in play with this language. And it was real evident in the testimony that we've heard that all of these projects have support from different sectors of the public. Now, maybe a way to get out of this sticky wicket, Representative Hornstein, is that you and I are going to get a chance to discuss another bill here in a couple of days. And, you know, I would be one to take your word for it that we'll discuss this with our policy bill, because we can always put something in the policy bill that says when resources become available, the Met Council, and we can say shall, as long as we say when the resources become available. I see Mr. Shetland just jumped out of his chair, but I don't think that they would be too opposed to that. Oh, he had his phone on in committee. That's even better. So
he's calling the corner office.
He's calling the boss. But I think that that might be one way of getting us out of this little wicket here, because I know that Senator Bonhoff has poured a lot of a lot of her efforts into this, and I don't want to see it, you know, left someplace and not addressed. So,
Mr. Chair, I think that's an excellent suggestion. And again, I don't think we have any philosophical or policy disagreement. It's mainly procedural, and I think your suggestion is procedural. And I'll commit to you today that we'll address that and accommodate that in the transportation policy bill.
All right. If that's good enough for you, Senator Bonhoff?
Mr. Chair and Senator Murphy, I withdraw my amendment.
Thank you, Senator Bonhoff. And I would just like to reiterate again, definitely we should be in. That's one of the things that's happened with this legislature in the past 20 years since I've been here. We've not funded these studies, and we better start picking it up, because all we've been doing is preservation, and all of a sudden we have something come up and we don't have money for it. And I think we definitely, Senator Bonhoff, we better get that in somewhere, because I agree with that. Senator Sieben.
Mr. Chair, I'd just be remiss if I didn't add that if the conferees for the policy bill could please also discuss high-speed rail, I would greatly appreciate it. It didn't make this final list, but
I'm noting that.
Thank you.
Senator Sieben, I'll have to tell you, I was put on a high-speed rail study for I don't know how many years, and I was never authorized to go to a meeting, and we definitely need that. There's no doubt about it. That's what happened. We voted on this now, so we're down to Greater Minnesota Transit, right?
Right.
For Greater Minnesota Transportation Sales Tax, Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair and members, the next item is the Greater Minnesota Transportation Sales Tax. This would allow any county or multiple counties working together under a joint powers agreement to impose the same type of sales tax for transportation purposes that's in the metro area version. There are a couple of differences. There's not language on the governance structure, and it requires a referendum approved by a majority of those voting on the question in order for the tax to be imposed. Mm-hmm. And the tax must go towards a specific project and terminates after that project is completed.
Mr. Burris, according to the present statute, any county that has, or any county that has less of a population, less than 1 million, is automatically a referendum. Do we need that language, I guess, about the referendum?
Mr. Chair, I'd have to take a look at current statute on other taxes, but I believe that this is different in that the majority voting is the passage requirement test is a little bit different, because it's the majority of those voting on the question as opposed to all of those voting at the general election.
Oh, okay. Is there a motion to that effect?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that.
Senator Murphy moves the language under the Greater Minnesota Transportation Sales Tax. Any discussion? Comment? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary? The motion passes. And the next item is Metropolitan Wheelage Tax.
Mr. Chair and members, this proposal is different from what the Conference Committee has adopted previously. This version in the House proposal would remove the levy limit offset requirement. It would add an exemption for motorized bicycles, but would only apply to the metropolitan area and keep the rate of the tax at $5.
Senator Sieben.
Thank you. I appreciate that representative comment, too.
That was hard to do. We could use you in the House right now.
Probably wear that, too. Mr. Chair, I'd just like to make a case for allowing, adopting the similar language that Mr. Burris suggested, but changing the tax rate to either $5 or $10. I think this would be a moderate compromise so that counties within the metropolitan area who are already allowed to impose the tax, instead of, as was originally in the language passed by the Senate, instead of going up to $20, the counties could impose either a $5 or $10 wheelage tax.
That's your motion, Senator Stephen. It's either five or not up to, because that's it. So you have to have the two increments, $5 or $10.
Correct.
Representative Hornstein.
Name's John. I speak in support of the Stephen motion, and I think it's in sort of keeping with our theme of flexibility and local control, you know, when it comes to counties. And it's my understanding that they currently use this and have had very few complaints. And again, it does allow the flexibility for counties. So the 5 or 10 language, I think, is excellent.
That's actually an amendment to your motion, Senator. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion or comment? If not, we'll vote on the change from 5 or 10. I guess that's a short version. Any further discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
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 Contrary? The amendment is passed. Now we have the full Greater Minnesota Transportation Sales Tax. It's been moved by Senator Murphy. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I believe it's the Metropolitan Wheelage Tax.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong one. Metropolitan Wheelage Tax, that's correct. Mm-hmm. Any discussion? Senator, our Representative Morrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I do plan to vote in favor of this. I think I'd be remiss, though, if I didn't note at least one last time the loss of 80 counties of this option for the wheelage tax, and would hope that we'll see improvement in the much-referenced computer system and reinvestment in that computer system, so that in the future counties might have this option before them as well, other than the seven metro counties. Mm-hmm. I do plan to vote in favor, but I just wanted to get that thought out on the record one last time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I really hope that either we or the department, because I understand a big reason for the loss of these counties is silly. It's the fact that the department is just not up to speed with this technology. And so I would hope that either in the coming year or years, we or the department or together embark on a significant initiative to bring that department up to speed with their technology needs. I heard that they're using some mainframe computers that date back to the 60s. And I kind of scratch my head because they're also the same agency that has probably done the most in terms of customer service and accessibility and the ability to, some glitches and hiccups and, bumps on the way, no doubt, in the last few years. But all things being equal, they're the ones who have a lot of public transactions and, public contact, and they've done a lot to allow you to buy your tabs online and take care of transactions online. So it's such a contrast with their inability to generate the kind of back of the house services that they need to be able to generate because their technology is so decrepit. And so it's going to take a lot of money, a lot of leadership, a lot of initiative, and I hope that we're cognizant of that and someone takes that on as their significant project.
Thank you, Senator. And for the members, I believe, understand it, but the audience is probably wondering what we're talking about. The reason we don't make adjustments further in the wheelage tax because apparently the state does not have the technology updates, and it won't have it for a couple of years. We've not provided the money in the past few years so they can get those updates in technology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a short version.
And
Senator Carlson, a bit.
I have one question as coming from a county that has the $5 wheelage tax in it now. At the time of enactment here, does that preempt that tax that's already in effect, and does it need to be reauthorized?
Would you want to comment, Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair and members, I don't believe that it would preempt with the assuming that this language is adopted, since it would be a $5 or $10 amount, it would allow for $5 to continue in the counties that currently have imposed the wheelage tax.
And Mr. Chair and Mr. Burris, does that mean that the levy offset requirement is also eliminated at that time, and the old $5 wheelage tax that they have today remains?
Mr. Chair, Senator Carlson, yes, it would eliminate that levy offset at that point.
And Senator Murphy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I do have to make a comment about the Department of Vehicle or the Division of Vehicle Services. You know, these folks, they are dealing with, they're working with a lot of systems that are really old, antiquated, and, you know, if we had them at home, they probably would have been in the scrap heap years ago. But these folks continue to do a remarkable job for our constituents, and a lot of times can avoid, you know, a lot of headaches that our folks have out there. And they do it just by working hard, period. And they do one heck of a job. And in the future, we do need to provide them the resources necessary so that they aren't smashing their heads into the wall every day. They work incredibly hard, and I think that if we made a major investment on their part, that their services would even be better than they are today. And I think that they're pretty doggone good, considering that they get to touch everybody's driver's license, everybody's title. They get to touch everything. And knowing that, they just do a heck of a good job. You know, and when we're talking about computer systems, MnDOT has, they have an issue going on over there with their computers, and they've spent millions and millions of dollars to try to rectify this situation. And from what I understand, it's still not rectified. Now, next year when we come back, we're going to have DVS and the Department of Transportation come in front of the committees, and at least on the Senate side, and talk about what they need to make this right. You know, the department relies a lot on their computers when they go to do their engineering for road design and just all kinds of things. And to not have the level of technology available to those folks with a system that actually works is, once again, a shame. Those folks are over there working on the behalf of everybody in the state, and we're not providing them the right pieces of technical equipment to get the job done. And we're just going to have to come back next year and maybe do a little something extra so that we can provide them the resources. And we're talking millions and millions of dollars of investment here. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I don't know where we're at here. I think we're down to the other provisions.
Senator Murphy, I believe we haven't voted on this past issue. On the Metropolitan Wheelage Tax, it's been discussed, and everybody ready for the question? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Contrary? No. Motion passed. The other provisions are what's left, and we're doing pretty well.
Mr. Chair, if I might interject a couple of items that didn't make it onto this list. One is relevant to the discussion that just went on with the Driver and Vehicle Services computer system. This is a change that's in the House proposal that would allow for a carry forward of funds that were appropriated in the current biennium to vehicle services, and allow that carry forward of unexpended funds that had been appropriated into the upcoming 08-09 biennium. And those funds would be up to $1.75 million for planning on replacement of the DVS computer system. And if there's money additional beyond that, it would go towards remediation strategies to avoid systematic failures in their system.
Mr. Burris, you have that language?
Mr. Chair, that language is in the
House proposal. Senator Murphy makes that motion.
Yes, I do.
I think you've all heard it. I don't know if any discussion or comment on that. It actually allows them to carry forward. It was sometimes customary in most things we do. Any discussion or comment? If not, all in favor of the motion that Senator Murphy made that Mr. Burris read. It's in your thing. Say aye.
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 Contrary? The motion's adopted.
Mr. Chair, I think other provisions are now next. These are all items that are in the House proposal that consist of provisions that have already been passed by the or adopted by the conference committee. It's all the Department of Public Safety fees and a number of Senate policy and finance provisions. I can go through those in greater detail if you want, but the conference committee has already
We've
taken these up.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, Mr. Burris, there we adopted some language, and it's the number four. It kind of amends this opt-out language, and we had the A14 amendment, and I was wondering if that's reflected on your in your paperwork. And I believe we adopted all that yesterday, but I just want to make sure because there are some date changes that were part of that A14.
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, I'm pretty sure that those changes are also incorporated. I'll double check here.
Okay. And then, Mr. Chairman, then Ms. Berzosky, do we need to move that language on A41? Mr. Burris says we've got it. So.
A14.
Okay.
We had that yesterday.
Okay.
You want to move this?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, then let me make sure that I get them all here. Okay. I'll, under other provisions, I will move the bullet and the five items underneath that lower bullet. We did adopt the top bullet. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Then I'll move the bullet number two and items one through five.
Representative Earhart.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have a copy of the amendment. Someone has one around here, but I would it covers paragraph 5.
That's right. That's a big amendment we had yesterday. That's Senator Dibble's amendment. Right.
And it deletes that section. Who has the copy of the amendment? I don't know. Delete number 5, I guess.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble, we talked about that earlier. And I think Representative Earhart's right. We decided to. Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'll amend my motion so that it's bullet point number 2, items 1 through 4. We'll leave 5 off the docket.
And then we can come back to that, Representative Earhart. We're going to just adopt above for the time being. We can come back to number 5.
No, Mr. Chairman, number 5, I think we all agreed to leave that out after the discussion yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just leave 5 out and go with 1 through 4.
Does that satisfy you, Representative Earhart? So actually the motion would be to adopt items all the way through 1 through 4 and delete or not adopt item 5.
Mr. Chair, I think we probably have to actually delete item 5 because we adopted the language.
Because we adopted it yesterday. We should.
Oh, okay. Well, then, Mr. Chairman, here's my motion. This is a final motion. Okay? Bullet point number 2. We will adopt bullet point number 2, lines 1, 2, 3, 4, and we will delete number 5.
Okay. Does everyone have that? Any discussion? Comment?
Mr.
Not
Chair.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Contrary?
No.
The motion's adopted. Unless there's other business?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, there's I think that there's one. There's actually, I do believe we need to, and Mr. Chairman, I'm going to make a motion here. It's going to sound kind of odd or peculiar, but we adopted all this language for the Met Council. Unfortunately, in year 08, there's still going to be about $23.761 million short. Even with our bill the way it is right now. Talking with leadership of both bodies, they've agreed to give us the cash on that, the one-time spending cash, to fill up that hole in 08. I'm going to move that, but first I'm going to say the Senate's, we had kind of this illusionary target sometime before March 3rd of pretty close to about $80 million. And so the chair of the Transportation Committee, I don't know what he was thinking, but decided to leave for a while. And upon his return, found that it was all gone. So a few of us have been bartering back and forth, and we were given a little extra money to make sure that all this washes out. So I would move that in year 08, we use $23.7 $6.1 million, and we appropriate that, this is cash, to the Met Council to cover their shortfall.
What was it, 23 point what?
23.761. And with the other language that we adopted earlier, the 09 numbers are adequate to avoid a shortfall in 09. But this is cash that leadership has decided to put down into the committee, make sure that our numbers work out right.
Senator Murphy, if I may, I want to ask a question. Ms. Zures, have we accommodated, adjusted for that? Do we need that?
Mr. Chair and members, I was just, I had a quick question on that. Is that, in the House proposal, we have $16.9 million as a projected deficiency, and is that 23.761 in place of that? Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, it's on top of it, right? It's in place. Okay, that would be in place. That would be the number on the bottom line then. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Is that okay, Ms. Sewers?
I think so, yes.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Murphy, we had talked about what we were doing because of the fact that the lease tax wasn't coming to us till that, you know, when it was. And so I want to make sure that the number that you just gave is taking into account what leadership committed to for both of those years that we were missing the lease tax. Does this reflect the agreement that was made?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bonoff, yes. And the reason why there's, you know, this kind of number that seems to be floating around, and I think that was more of an oversight on my part, but I'd had commitments from leadership, you know, a while back that when it gets right down to making sure that all the numbers work, that we would be handed the cash to backfill any of that loss of revenue from the leased vehicle sales tax. So this makes them whole.
Senator Murphy, Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, I just was looking at the numbers and I just wasn't sure the 23, if you add up what would have come in one year and the next, and you add it together, it seemed like it'd be a little more than that. So just didn't want to, but.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Bonoff, Ms. Boyd's pretty good, and she tells me that in any time that she puts down 0.761, I know that she's added the numbers two or three.
Senator,
dozen
Mr.
Times.
Chair, Senator Murphy, I'll accept that. Thank
yeah.
you.
Okay. So, Mr. Chairman, I'd renew my motion.
Is there further comment or discussion? If not, all in favor of Senator Murphy's using some backfill, really, to backfill for Metro Transit for the second year of the. Mm-hmm. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Contrary? The motion passes.
And Mr. Chairman, there's an appropriation issue in Article 1, and I spoke briefly to Mr. Burris about it, and I talked with Ms. Berzowski. And normally, you know, when you put the big bill together, there's always a couple lines in there that says this appropriation is to be used, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And when it comes to trunk highway revenues, we have always put a proviso in there that says that You can allocate this money, construction, and then a certain percentage, maintenance, a certain percentage, and then investment, a certain percentage. And in the language that is on the table now, it basically says that it can be allocated for construction, maintenance, and investment, and it doesn't lay out the percentages. And the House too has always thrown a percentage in there, and they've always been, I believe, about the same. I think it's construction at 60, maintenance at 22%, and investment at 18%. And I think those are numbers, Ms. Bierzowski and Ms. Boyd. Okay. But, and then that just allows the money to flow to construction, maintenance, and investments. So
that's because we don't usually – there's a variance in the hard numbers that we deal with mm-hmm. on dedicated funds. That's the reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does everyone understand Senator Murphy's motion? It doesn't really – it just doesn't bring any new money. It just puts the money where it's supposed to go. If no discussion, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 Contrary? The motion's adopted. Do you have further motions?
Mr. Chairman, are we about done here?
Mr. Chair?
Senator, or Representative Moore.
You're just trying to trade me for Senator Sieben, I understand. I'd like to, at the risk of reopening something, I'm going to do it anyway on the gas tax, and I... I've been thinking a good deal about the October or the July 1st date. And while I certainly know that we need more money in the roads than even this gas tax will generate, I'm going to raise the possibility of actually putting this at October 1st and starting it on October 1st. I am concerned as we're entering the summer and with relatively little short notice, we'd be raising a tax, and it might be a more palatable gas tax to start on October 1st. So I am raising that as a possibility.
Representative Hortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In an ideal world, I think we should phase it in. We shouldn't do it all at once. But I don't like October 1st any better than I like July 1st if we're going to do it all at once, because if we'll remember back to 2005 when Hurricane Katrina hit, the time that gas prices spiked was in October. And so I just don't think that October 1st is going to be any easier to swallow. Then July 1st, I think the question we should be talking about is, should we phase it in?
We actually haven't had a motion to re-refer or get back to it, but we have some discussion. If someone wants to discuss it further, Senator Dibble. Senator Dibble?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it's worth considering and discussing. We got a little bit rushed on the whole subject. We started it, and then we had to race out to go right. Vote on the Senate floor, and we took a motion. I'm persuaded by all the arguments. I'm more inclined, I guess my question is, what do we lose in terms of, resources? I mean, because there's a real danger to, there's a real loss of money. We're leaving money on the table. And also, do we open up, do we need to then consider, because I think we start collecting, other kinds of taxes July 1st, so do we need to all kind of hold hands and move together and, not start collecting, because we're always trying to achieve equity and parity in this bill, and so we're not trying to advantage one mode or geographic part of the state over another, so I think we need to just be cognizant of that. I am persuaded that, imposing the tax when gas prices might come down is worth considering. Representative Portman makes a good point, though. Global warming, we're probably going to have more huge hurricanes that are going to knock down platforms or destroy refineries down in the Gulf Coast. So who knows what's going to happen? Who knows what the future holds? So it's all a very windy way of saying I could go either way, I guess. I'm somewhat persuaded by
for every month that we don't get it we lose, July. Well, for each cent, about $2.5 million, so 5 cents. We lose about $10 million.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we adopt the gas tax in two sections, 2.5 cents on July 1st, 2007, and 2.5 cents on October 1st, 2007. And before we vote on it, I don't know if Kevin Gray from MnDOT or anybody in finance at MnDOT would want to say whether that creates administrative problems for them or expenses for them, or if he doesn't want to testify. So my motion would be...
Mr. Gray was saying no, it doesn't create a problem.
No problems.
Representative Hartman, I was concerned. I've had it, I think if someone ever talks to you complaining about the gas, it's always, you know, 29.9 or $1.9. Who gets that fraction of a cent? They're going to put it up the full cent, they always tell me. But technically, it won't be that way. It will and it won't, because the department's only going to levy the half cent, and the dealer isn't going to absorb the half. I think it might be better to go to a rounded number. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's up for discussion.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I kind of like Representative Hortman's idea of maybe breaking it apart a little bit, doing some here, doing some there. In regards to that 9/10, I think that that should be captured for the House chair to spend as he sees fit. Oh, okay.
And Mr. Chair, I would agree. I'm agreeable to the 2.5 and 2.5, July 1st, October 1st. That seems to be perhaps a fair way to.
Yeah.
Well, but meet in the middle.
We have two problems. We're in discussion. We haven't made a motion. We haven't retracted the other, so we can have further discussion. Senator Carlson.
I guess, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure what market forces we're really thinking we're manipulating here. But, you know, if you want to increase 10 cents a gallon, you can drive 20 miles to the east, and Wisconsin is 10 cents higher than we are. So if we think that we're going to actually save anyone any money, I think we might be fooling ourselves because the market forces are going to put it at wherever it is. And I don't think right now that if you go over to Hudson that it's 10 cents higher than what it is here. But they are paying 10 cents more than we are. So I really think that the market forces are going to get out of us whatever they feel like getting out of us. So I really think that the sooner the better.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, procedurally, if Representative Hortman makes her motion, that supersedes what we did earlier. So we don't have to go back and remove what we did early. No, we just adopt the Hortman motion and move on.
Was that a motion, Representative Hortman?
Mr. Chair, that was a motion.
It was a motion?
All right.
I'd like to ask the wise gentleman in the end, Representative Peterson, some comment. I know it.
I don't have an issue either way.
You don't?
I just want to get the bill passed and whatever it takes to get it done.
Okay, we have a motion before us. Any further discussion? Representative Earhart.
The motion, Mr. Chairman, is... 2.5 cents every 2 years now, or what?
No, July 1st, 2007. I'd be happy to make that motion.
Well, you did make it.
No, I made the motion that we raise it 2.5 cents on July 1st, 2007, and 2.5 cents on October 1st, 2007.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative Hortman, let's just give them the nickel and hope that we... land on the right day for the market forces or whatever. And if we want to move it out a little bit so we're not spoiling the 4th of July weekend, go out to September 1st or something like that. What would you settle for?
Yeah.
Would you settle for a nickel on September 1st?
After Labor Day.
Representative Hortman.
I see a lot of support for that compromise. So, yes, I would withdraw my motion and support the Earhart motion to do it all on September 1st. I really do think when people go to buy gas, it impacts their budget. I know we're not going to change the price alone. I've done my gasprices.com research enough to know that a state's gas tax does not drive gas price, where the pipeline is and other things drive the price. However, I do think that some people believe what we do here is going to hit them in the pocketbook, and they're going to feel it, and I'd rather have them feel it in two small doses. But if the consensus of the group is to go September 1st, I can do that too.
Did you make that motion, Representative Earhart?
Mr. Chairman, I would say we move the date to September 1st and make it 5 cents on that date.
All right.
Further discussion? If not, Representative Earhart moved that we move the implementation date of the gasoline tax to September 1st rather than July 1st as we have it. Correct? Any discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Contrary? The motion is adopted. You won, Representative Earhart.
People.
And is there any other further business to come before the Senator Murphy?
Labor Day.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, as the 11th horse, and if you remember, what was the song? Here Comes Beetlebum. But we have in this body have always used some colloquialisms that I'm interested in where they come from. And if you would do me liberty, I sat in my car and I came up with these words. Well, the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down with the lamb. Oh, yes. And the peace from the wild will be led and known by the child. We shall be changed from this congestion. Oh, yes. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley, oh, Lord, I pray. There'll be some sadness, some sorrow, some trouble will stay, but there will be peace in the valley someday.
Thank you, Representative Peterson. That's actually what we have. I don't think anyone's going out too happy, but we certainly have something we agreed on. Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a last comment before, Ms. Bierzowski, do we need to move the whole body of work now, or we're done? Okay, Ms. Bierzowski says we're done, and but Representative Leader and House members, it's definitely been our pleasure to work with you folks this year, and I think that we've got a work product here that we can take back to our respective bodies and be proud of, because we know we're going to move Minnesota forward, and that's what transportation is all about. You know, people talk about the economic engine that drives the state, and some say it's the Mall of America. Some say it's airports, and everybody has their little thing. Some would even say it was the Minnesota Twins. But we know what drives the economic vitality of this state, and it's transportation. It's airways, waterways, railways, roadways, right on down the line. It's cart paths, it's town roads. This is a work product we can all be proud of, and I would hope that the governor would take a serious look at this and maybe blink. Once again, Representative Leader, you've far exceeded your expectations of being a chair this year, and as I think you always do, and a lot of us look up to you and appreciate your leadership and your candor on a lot of these delicate issues. And thank you very much. And once again, it's been a real treat. And for the members of the conference committee, both the House and the Senate, we've asked the room 125 just down the hall here to be available for media. So if you'd all want to troop down there, and if the media wants to show up, they've got 5 minutes to get there. And then I think we're all going to go home and have a beverage.
And I just before we do conclude, we think we're concluded at least. I just definitely like to say that I thank the staff. They've really worked. You know, we can sit here, but the staff, and I shouldn't name them all, I forget them, but you're looking at them, and we really appreciate that, because they did work after hours, after we left, and they're still working. And I think everyone recognizes one of the reasons we have the bill out now to put it to conference committee. We have to have a bill laid on the desk was it 12 hours or 24 hours, so we just can't move them that quickly. And that's why it takes a while for the reviser to put it together. We'll have to take a look at it. And I would presume the committee, unless there's some major errors or something, small technical things, Senator Murphy and I will take a look at, and it should be okay. And in the rare event that something else would need to be come in for some reason that we overlooked that has to come in the Finance Division, I think we'd have to call ourselves together quickly and probably address it. And one of the reasons, Senator Murphy, I've served on a number of conference committees, but I've never had a better-looking bunch from the Senate side, I'll tell you.
That's because they're all younger than we are.
That's why it looks so good to me. Yeah,
well, maybe not Carlson.
But unless there's any further business, thank you very much, committee members, we're adjourned.
Thank you.